Guy's working in the lumberyard and accidentally shears off all 10 of his fingers. He goes to the emergency room, and the doctor's like, ugh, geez, well, give me the fingers, I'll see what I can do. The guy says, I haven't got the fingers. The doctor says, what do you mean you haven't got the fingers? It's the year 2024. We got incredible microsurgery, all kinds of techniques. We could have put them back on and made you like new. Why didn't you bring the fingers? He says, well, geez, doc, I couldn't pick them up.
Oh, fucking Jackie.
Hey, man. Welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast, dude.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast. We'd like to thank Jackie, the Joke Man Martling, for his joke up front. And don't forget, you can see his movie on jokemanmovie.com. And we got a great show for you today. We got the original crazy people here. We got Craig Mitchell.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to see you again.
And we got the dean of the clown college. We got Mike Grieve.
Hey, Jackie, I got a finger for you. I got two of them, as a matter of fact. Right here. Here's a finger for you, you prick bastard. All right.
And we have candles for you. It's your birthday. It's Mike's birthday.
I'd like to introduce myself first and their guests.
Okay, sorry.
I'm John Ferrantino, and we got a special guest for you today. We have Scott Burrell. Give him a round of applause.
Yeah, hey, welcome around.
Let me tell you about Scott. Scott's a little background here. Scott has got a balloon business. He does balloon sculpturing.
Yeah.
He does magic.
Wow.
He does paranormal magic.
Cool.
He does a flea circus, which we'll talk about. And on top of that, he's an accountant.
So in other words, he's doing anything he can to avoid accounting.
He's an accountant. We can count on him. Thank you. I'm here all week.
I got a real job, but I never go to it. I'm too busy flea circusing and fucking... Welcome, Scott.
Oh, thanks. But
he's delighted to be here already.
Before we go any further, it is a special day here. It is a special day. It is Mike Grieve's birthday. Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mike. Happy birthday to you. They say it's your birthday. Happy birthday to you. I hope you have a good time. Celebrate your birthday. Have some fun and celebration. He's a jolly good fellow. He's a jolly good fellow. He's a jolly good fellow. And nobody can deny, if everybody had a birthday across the USA, then today wouldn't be special. But it's a special day. So have some fun on your birthday. Is he two?
Oh, Jesus. John, I'm touched. And I'm going to call HR because you're not.
We're out of time, folks. Out of time. Thanks for joining us.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I feel old. No, I don't feel. I feel young, man. I feel good. I'm 38 years old.
To what power?
I got the power. Anyway. I hate birthdays. I don't hate them. It's like no big deal. It's just another day. You know what I'm saying?
I hate people that say that.
What do you mean you hate birthdays? You made it.
No, actually, I'm at the point where it's like, you know what? Every day is just like the other day. Just keep going. Just keep doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I don't tell people my age because I don't.
A better place to stabbing people.
You know what sucks about my birthday this year? I'll tell you what sucks about it. It's the day that the Supreme Court's going to rule on Trump, April 22nd.
Well, that could be a good present.
Or it could be a bad present.
There you go. So anyway, you were talking about a flea circus. You know, that's pretty. First of all, what is a flea? I mean, you've heard of them. You always hear a flea. I mean, but what is a flea circus?
It's kind of like an attraction, fits in a briefcase, and it's an entire play, if you will. And
like a circus set, right?
Yeah, it's like a circus set, except for you really can't see the acrobats themselves. You just see what they do.
The acrobats.
So, it's a little more detail. So, when this briefcase is a pretty big briefcase.
It is.
It's about three times the size of a briefcase.
Like a Samsonite luggage.
So, when it opens up, there's a ring, like a center ring.
Right.
There's a road.
Wait. First questions first, though. Are these really fleas like what you find on a dog?
Much bigger. No.
Much bigger. You find them on horses. These are horse fleas.
Today, we probably would get in a lot of trouble for bringing fleas into places. So the guy that I do this stuff with, he's like, just call them fanciful fleas. But yeah, it's all done. It's not, there's no real fleas anymore.
Is any of the fleas in the Red Hot Chili Peppers? That's what I want on them.
No. But years ago.
That's true.
I had a roach circus.
Years ago.
No, you had a roach motel, didn't you?
Years ago, they used to use real fleas.
Right.
But those big fleas are no longer around because of DDT.
Yeah. Are those the fleas from like the Mexican jumping beans?
Those aren't fleas. I looked that up after you mentioned that. Those are worms. They're larvae inside the bean.
Oh.
But these fleas that they had, so weird. You got to look it up on YouTube. There was a whole process of them harnessing the fleas. They take a gold wire, they hold the flea with a tweezer, and they wrap this little harness around it. And the guy goes, unfortunately, a lot of fleas never made it through the harnessing process.
The great flea loss of 1917.
So the way it works, they say that a flea like kind of stores its energy and then can produce five times the power.
Like a slinky.
It's like me at Taco Bell.
So they would hook them up to like a chariot and they would have chariot races.
Yep.
And they have diving boards. Well, tell them what yours has got.
Yeah. So we open up and we have Morgan Fleeman. He gets in the car and he runs across the thing. He runs across the front.
He's driving Miss Daisy.
Then the flag goes up, and you know, we have all kinds of different different characters. We have the great Flea Dini who vanishes from one box, and then across the other side of the stage, he winds up in another box, which
Flea
is
Dini.
All because the amazing Flea Dini,
nice
cape.
Then you have the diving board.
Yep, we have the diving board that he lands in a damp sponge. From the towering height of just 18 inches high, he does three somersaults and lands in the damp sponge. You don't want to be in the splash area.
But he stops first because...
Well, he always checks to make sure that the sponge has
enough water on it.
Yeah, three drops of water.
But you see the diving board bouncing up and down?
Right.
Okay.
Silky told me once he saw Flea Circus where the thing... It was two diving boards. And he said... The flea starts jumping up and down on the first one, and then he stops and goes, wait a second, he needs to talk to me. And he says he's going to try something he never did before. He's going to do a double off the first diving board, a triple off the second diving board, and land in the pool.
Oh, it's the triple Indy.
And he goes, one, and then he goes, two, three, and he hits the diving board, and then he says about 4 inches away from the pool, a little puff of dust comes up and an ambulance comes out.
So what you're doing right there is you're telling Scott that his flea circus needs to pump it up.
His is really good. He's got a
Scott. Do you have a double diving board?
He's got a single diving board, but he's got a cannon where he shoots the flea out, knocks over a target.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
He's got a strongman flea.
Yep, Hercules.
Hercules. I like it. I like him already.
Hercules. Scott, Can I ask a question? Do you eat any kind of special mushrooms before you do this? I'm just really curious.
Hey, no, man.
Regular mushrooms are fine.
And what is the new meth flea, right? What did we say we're calling him?
New meth?
Yeah, he's going to do...
He's on meth?
Geometry?
Yeah, geometry.
He's on meth? Oh, meth. You said meth. I thought you said he was on meth.
Geometry.
Meth flea. Meth flea, he grabs you and he takes you to an ATM and makes you empty your ATM. Wait, it's meth flea.
We got more names here.
We have Antonio and Fifi LaFlea. They're twins. And when you open up the box, you have to look real close because Fifi wears the purple tutu.
So where do I go to see a flea circus? Do I got to go to like a dog shelter?
No, we don't let any dogs in. They steal the show.
Where do you perform? Where do you perform like the flea circus? So you do it in like clubs, like comedy clubs and things like that?
No, we don't. It wouldn't be for a comedy club. A lot of times we'll be doing like a grand opening or fairs or festivals. And it's something where you want to attract people to get people to move to. So a lot of times, like, we'll get to do something in front of the food court before the food court opens at the on the midway.
There you go. Fleas with the food court. That's
yeah, great. Yeah. It's all fun. But it's about a 20-minute show. And the people come around, we get the folks involved and entertained. Of course, the flea that dives off the fly dive, off the high dive, he gets scared. So it's like, give him some applause. And you get adults and people going crazy. They're clapping.
And there's a splash zone.
There's a splash zone. You don't want to be in the splash zone because you get wet.
You do get wet.
But what's funny is, like,
you're fiddling with something there, John.
And the kid who's standing in the front is like, I don't see nothing. And then all of a sudden the car starts to move and you hear, Mom, it's moving. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody's involved because that kid is into it. So it's a lot of fun.
It sounds like fun. It's like I said, when I was a kid, I had a roach circus, and you remember Freddie Roach and son Donald Roach and the Roach family.
What about Hal Roach?
Did you have Hal Roach?
We did a magic. We did the big paranormal magic convention.
Yeah,
with all of these big time magic acts there, and Scott did the flea circus.
Yeah,
and everyone agreed he stole the convention because no one had ever seen one before.
Yeah, it's so old, it's new.
When I was a kid, I remember hearing about flea circuses and stuff like that. But I think in the last 20, 30 years, yeah, I've heard anything about anyone doing any kind of flea. So it sounds like it'd be fun to come and check out.
It sounds hysterical. I love the names.
It really is. It's really fun.
It is
Hercules is my favorite.
He did it in my living room, and Chris was going crazy.
This is the kind of shit you have to do when you're an accountant, because you're so fucking bored and so crazy. You got to fill your mind. Because trust me, like I said, my brothers are accountants, and it's like, you know, how they haven't shot themselves, I don't know.
I studied being accounting. I like accounting.
Tell them about I just lost my whole train of thought. Old age. tell them about why your interest is with your dad and stuff.
Oh, well, when I was a kid, I mean, I saw my first flea circus. My grandmother used to live in the Catskills, and we used to go camping up there. We camped a lot as kids, and we always went to this place called Frontier Town. And after they had some sort of show in the streets, whether it was gunfighting or horse shows or whatever, you'd go into the sarsaparilla.
It's like where you grew up, Mike.
Yeah. Wild West.
My dad used to call it the Sarsaparilla Saloon. You know, I was, what, 8, 7? So we'd get in there, we'd go get ice cream, and there was always a guy. There was always a setup for a stage, and there was a flea circus there. And this guy would go through his act, and invariably one of the fleas would escape during the show. And nobody move, and he'd be looking around on the floor, and let's say he'd go out and he'd find this lady, and he'd look down, oh, there it is. And he picks up the flea, and he's like, you know, you shouldn't run away and all this stuff. And he goes back, and he puts the flea back in. The trick doesn't work. And he goes, and he gets his magnifying glass, and he looks, and he goes, oh, that's not mine. And he brings it back and puts it on the lady's shoulder. And on his way back to the stage, he's like, there's no place like home. And my father would just fall out of the chair. And he'd be laughing for hours because of that line. So
was he an accountant too?
No, my dad was a production manager for Grandma.
There you go.
But he would laugh at that, and just to hear that laugh, I mean, that's why I spent $2,000 to get to flea circus, because that laugh, and I use that line in every show, and I got to tell you, they laugh every time when that line comes.
That's hilarious.
I'll be honest, if I was driving down the road and I saw a sign that said flea circus, I would stop to check it out, just out of curiosity, just to see what's going on.
Really cool. I mean, there's a can that all the fleas are in. And like before the show starts, you can hear them all in the can jumping around and stuff. And there's nothing in there.
They're talking. They're like, "Are you nervous? I'm nervous. I'm a visiting."
When you run out of fleas, do you get more at a flea market? I'm just curious. I have no idea what I'm saying.
You can go to the pet store because you can buy one, get one flea.
Whoa!
I love
it's the big so bad
this is,
pun.
This is right up my alley, man. I love puns.
That's not punny.
It's so funny though, because it's very funny. Like, people, every time another name comes out with the flea, It's like, and these are like pretty established magic people, and they would just diet. They would like Flodini and Morgan Fleechild.
Morgan Freeman.
Freeman.
Oh my God. The best. So what else? That's so the para. So you do the paranormal magic like John. John does. You keep them separate. You do magic, and then you do a paranormal show separately. Are you, Scott? What are you? Do you doing the same thing, or is it a separate, just a paranormal show?
Well, the paranormal show is very different.
Does it have fleas in it?
Niche audience. No, there's no fleas in that. That's you know, it's definitely a niche thing. I do a lot of kids' parties and stuff for the magic. When the kid makes a bunny rabbit, the birthday kid always makes a live bunny rabbit appear, and parents and kids just go crazy because there's nothing there, and then all of a sudden there's a live rabbit, and they all just go crazy. So it's a lot of fun.
See, it took me a long time to get used to like being around a magician like John, because when I was a kid, I was traumatized when the magician said he was going to make a rabbit pop out of his hat, but it popped out of his shorts instead. It wasn't really a rabbit.
Did you give me that guy's phone number? I'm just curious.
Again?
Craig's making a bad joke.
No, it was a good joke. It was just received badly.
We didn't hear what you said.
He said, I'm sorry. You want me to repeat it? Want me to repeat a bad joke? Okay,
I won't. Mike, no.
Hey, Craig, when did you get here? Anyway, yeah, John.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
So what else is going on? What's happening? Huh?
Stop. Stop. You're having a hard time, man. He's just like staring off.
Did you say, did you mention that you can see Jackie, the joke man at the movie? What is it, Craig? I don't think John said that.
He did say it up front.
All right.
I think it might have been obscured by the music, but you can see Jackie's documentary at the jokemanmovie.com.
I'll be honest, I usually don't listen to the show, even while I'm doing it.
Oh, man.
So did you watch any of...
I got interested in paranormal magic through my jump drive.
I had been doing a little bit of it, and I was recovering from open heart surgery when I saw he had his jump drive out, so I went and I got it. And
wait, you had open heart surgery, man? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Yeah,
awesome. What did you have? Like bypass
surgery? Yeah,
one bypass or
100% blocked, and they went in through my shoulder and took something out of my shoulder and put it in past the blockage.
It was amazing. It was performed by fleas.
Dr. Morgan Fleeman,
Flea Hartman.
No, so was it a single bypass? I know my old man had quintuple bypass surgery. What did you just have, one blockage?
I was going in. They told me I was going in for two, but they only had to do one, thankfully.
And you said they went into your shoulder? I mean, what do you
have? No, they went into my
bad insurance?
They peeled back my chest plate, and they took a pain. They rerouted it. Instead of it going where it went, they cut off the one end, and it's rerouted from my shoulder into my heart. Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Break your brachial artery.
But did you become part of the zipper? Did they open you up that way? Because sometimes they go in through the groin.
Open like a walnut.
Yeah, sometimes now they go in through the groin, you know, which is, I guess, a lot less traumatic. It's probably much easier to recover if they're going in through the vein. But I don't know if they can do a big surgery like that through the that way.
Yeah, if they're doing stents, they can go in through the groin. But if they're doing the open heart, they have to open it up. Yeah,
because I'll be honest with you. If somebody came up to me and said, Mike, you need open heart surgery, they're going to crack open your stomach, I'm like, I'm dying. Yeah. It ain't happening. I'm not doing it. Take care.
I told my wife, never again. I don't ever want to go through that again. As a matter of fact, I knew some folks that had it, and I called the one guy. He's a buddy of mine. I was like, how bad does it hurt? He says, I can't describe it to you. I was like, come on, it can't hurt that much because people wouldn't do it. It really does. It hurts that much.
No, people who do it have no choice. Not like they, you know, it's not like you have a lot of choice, you know.
That's what it is, because, I mean, a third of my heart wasn't getting any blood, so that was a problem.
Yeah, ouch. See, two-thirds of my brain never gets any blood. I still managed to get by.
I mean, to bring the show down. I mean, shit. But I mean, I'm 110 pounds lighter than I was. So that's really good. It's not a diet program I recommend. I'm bowling again. I'm out doing stuff.
Oh, there's something John forgot to mention. Now you're a bowl, huh? You're like, aren't you a professional bowler?
Not even close.
Not even close.
I'm only averaging 192. You got to be averaging 30 to.
What do you mean only 192?
I know. I think my best game I got a 72 once.
No.
Only one. You're averaging 192.
Yeah.
Well, you see, I thought the pros have to average 180 or higher.
230.
I think I average 230 now.
But you have to have a 200 average to make it to the pros. 230 if you want to make money.
See, I couldn't bowl regularly. I'd get frustrated, walk down the alley, and probably just, you know, kick the pins over. You know,
shoot the pins down.
Yeah, there you go. That's more fun. Target practice.
I get to coach kids on Wednesdays. Not today, but coaching kids on Wednesdays.
That's something I might keep secret.
Saturday, it's really cool.
That's cool, man. So, what are you like? They coached a team.
92.
I just take random kids and I say, "Come here, we're gonna bowl."
No. On Saturday mornings, there's the bowling center has a kids league. It's a scholarship league. These kids are making scholarship money. I mean, a couple of the kids that, not that I've coached these particular kids, but when I got into the program, we've got 15, 16-year-olds that are averaging 225.
Wow.
They're really good. And then you get the beginner kids and you got to build the fundamentals and all of a sudden you see them get it. And it's an amazing thing because you've given them something for life, right? Bowling is a life sport. So I get to enjoy that.
Well, see, that's the most amazing thing. If you can make a living, like, you know, golfers make a living at golf, bowlers make a living at bowling. If you can make a living at something you love, just like us, you know, we make people laugh, do comedy, making a living doing the things that you love. To me, that's the ultimate. That's the prize, you know. So that is very cool.
We're lucky that Scott was off today because he got summoned for jury duty.
Oh,
and he got off today.
Well, you know what you do if you want to get out of jury duty? Just walk in there and go. Just keep saying, "I like to bowl. I bowl. I like to bowl. I got a flea circus. I got a flea circus. I bowl."
I told them, and they asked him what he did, to say he's a paranormal magician. And they'll go, "What's that?" And just look at him with a straight face and go, "I talk to the dead."
There you go.
So I have a story about Zabrowski, Jeff Zabrowski, when he got jury duty. And they called him in and they said, this is grand jury. And they said, "So we want to know if anybody here has ever been the victim of an unsolved crime." And Jeff raised his hand and walked up to the microphone and said, "Yes, I have." And they said, "Would you tell the court your problem, you know, what happened?" And he said, "When I was 10 years old, someone broke into my locker and stole my gym shorts." And they never caught the guy. You know,
John, just hearing that story, I feel like I'm the victim of a crime.
And the two attorneys at the same time jumped up and went, "Oh, he's excused."
Who would think of that? I mean, yeah, we'd all like to, you know, say something stupid and get out of jury duty, but Zabrowski.
He goes, "It's true." He goes, "It's a true story."
Yeah. I'm the victim of an unsolved crime. You know what? I'm probably the genesis of a book about unsolved crime, but anyway, that's a whole different story.
Have you ever had to go to traffic court?
I'll tell you what, I did. That's, oh yes. And if I was thinking fast, I could have got out of the ticket, man. I was like driving in Manhattan. This was years ago, and I was on 42nd Street and I think I forget 7th Avenue, and I wound up in the you know, and if you know that area, it's like it was at sometime around noon, and it was just bumper to bumper. And so I wound up stuck in the box. And remember that time? They're probably still doing it in Manhattan. It was this huge deal about don't get stuck in the box, you know, which was my goal in life, was always to get stuck in the box, but not that kind of box. But anyway, the light changes and I turned on 7th Avenue and I get pulled over And in court, the cop, they just lie. I love it because it's like, you know, you go in there and I go, well, I'm guilty because I did go through the light, but I have an excuse because it was better than sitting in the box. So I'm going to plead, you know, guilty with an excuse. But you get in there, you go to court, and then and everybody in front
every
of you.
Every court, right? Every court starts off. The judge goes, before we start, yeah. I just want to say there are only two verdicts in this court. Guilty yeah. and not guilty. There is no such thing as guilty with an explanation. First case, how do you plead?
Guilty with an excuse. And the judge just freaking hit the hammer, whatever the hell he does, and he goes, guilty. So then I go up and he goes, how do you plead? And I was going to do guilty with an excuse. I just said guilty. It's like, you know. But if I was thinking, because there's no way I could have, because the cop said I came from three car lengths back and I went through the light, which could have never happened on 7th Avenue and 42nd Street at like noonish or whatever it was. Because it was bumper to bumper. But, you know, just New York. I tell you, New York has just become a place where I hate visiting. I don't go back unless I actually have to, because they've made driving. It's like at the speed limit's like 25 miles an hour. It's almost like every time I go, I get a ticket.
We're all from New York. Scott's from New York, too.
Yeah.
I think I may have told the story, but never on the air. When I was in X-ray school, my teacher, Larry McCourt, we had to be on call one night a week. And we went to, this is Mercy Hospital, and there's a road in front of Mercy Hospital. I forget what the name of the road is. And I think
Mercy Hospital Road.
I think it's like a 30 mile an hour speed limit, or even parts of it are 15.
Right.
I called him at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's on the road, and, you know, and you get like, when it says stat, it means you got to get there right away. So we got a stat call. So he's coming down that road.
Wait, what does stat stand for?
I have no idea. It means get your ass here as quick as you can. So he, it's funny. I worked on this one. Never even knew. I'll have to look that up. So anyway, basically he's coming down that road and he's going, this is ridiculous. So he's doing about 40 or 50 and he gets pulled over at 3 o'clock in the morning. He says to the cop, I don't really have time for this. You need to follow me to the hospital. And I'll gladly take your ticket if that's what you want. This
is a stat situation.
But this is an emergency. I need to get to the hospital.
Stat.
So he gets there and he gets the ticket. Okay, mm-hmm. Actually gets the ticket. So he goes to court and the judge says, can you tell me what's going on? And he said, well, I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning that there was a child and I got there and, you know, and he gave me a ticket and the judge said, well, you know, what if you had just gone slower? And he goes, oh, you know, how would you feel if it was your son lying on that table at 3 o'clock in the morning waiting for the x-ray technician to come 30 miles an hour up a road with no traffic on it? Yeah. And the judge says, hold on a second. He takes out a piece of paper and a pen, starts doing this equation.
Right.
He goes, so I just figured this out. The road is 2.3 miles. You were doing 50. And if you had done the speed limit, you would have only been at the hospital like 4.5 minutes later.
Four and a half minutes. That's the difference between life
and my death. Friend put his head down and went, it would have been too late. And the judge turned around and said, I'm gonna give you no tickets on your license, no points on your license. I'm gonna charge you $75 because there is no ticket for Academy Awards.
It would have been too late, Your Honor.
Statum, stat is short for the Latin word statin, which means statim, which means immediately.
Ah, see, there you go. You learn something every day. Now, yeah. Why don't they just say statin?
It's like that's fucking, all I remember out of being
saving there. Like a half a second. Statin, whatever.
Statin. Nobody ever pronounced the word, but that's what it is. It's a Latin.
Who
word.
Who else has got a story, Craig?
About what?
Court.
You that's must have a friggin' traffic stories.
I don't have a traffic story, no. But I do have a story where I was called for jury duty. And I was working, I was managing an outbound telemarketing office where they sold dick pills. I'm not kidding.
What's a dick bill? Like a duck bill? Platypus?
A pill.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I think like, I went to school with him. Dick
like,
pill.
Like Tribulus terrestris, which would give you a hard on and give some people heart attacks. It was a terrible place to work. But I averaged about $75, $80 a day there in commissions. I wasn't getting a salary.
Selling dick pills?
Yeah. So I got called in. I got called into the downtown Los Angeles to do
dick jury pill headquarters.
That's what I would call it. And they give you like $25, $30 a day. I forget, but it's not enough. And I'm all stressed out because I'm living pretty much paycheck to paycheck. Okay. And we do this thing for like 3 days after they choose me to be on the freaking jury. And I'm like, I can't stay here. I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. I'm not going to pay my car note and all that stuff. So I go to the judge. I go, listen, I can't stay. I can't afford to be here. Right. And unbeknownst to me, because I have experience being an apartment manager in New York for 25 years, and this was a real estate case, they really wanted me to be on the jury. So she goes, well, go into the back room. I'll call you back in a moment. And after about 10, 20 minutes, they call me back in and said, listen, can you stay on the jury if we pay you $95 a day cash? Because I told them that's how much I needed. I went, what? He goes, yeah, we'll pay at the end of every day. We'll pay you $95 to cash. Can you stay?
That's a lot of dick pills.
And I was like, fuck yes. But it only lasted 3 or 4 more days after that. And then they settled. But what was cool about that is when we went to after it was over, the judge came up to me and said, here, the prosecutor and the defendant both wanted you because of your experience in real estate, and they were each paying you $47.50 out of their pocket.
What's so crazy to me about that story is, and it's not that I don't believe you, is that I've been called for jury duty on medical malpractice cases, and they go, what is your background? And I said, I have a degree in radiology.
They disqualify you.
And they were like, immediately disqualified.
That's why I got disqualified.
They said, tell me why you think you'd be good on this jury.
I said, I got disqualified from the murder trial.
That's that's why I volunteered it, John, because I thought they would cut me.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They wanted me because they said, oh, this guy knows all about real estate shit.
They even asked me, why do you think you'd be good on this jury? And I said, I think it'd be really fair because working in a hospital, I know that there's good doctors and bad doctors.
But there was one guy, because Mike was talking about this before, like you're talking about Jeff. When they were interviewing us, he stands up, he goes, you know what? I don't think I could do this. I can't do this because I think all cops are crooks. I go, and he was saying all these racial slurs. I don't like these guys. I don't like these guys. I don't like these guys. And I don't think this whole system works. So I don't think I'd be good juror. And there was everybody's like, wow, this guy really went for it. It's like what everybody, and the judge just sat there. She was pretty a hard-ass judge, man. She sat there and she went, you know what? Sit down. Now you're going to find out how justice really works. And he was on the jury. She kept him on.
Yeah, because she knew that he was getting out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You don't have to be...
for going to court. I grew up on Long Island. I was probably about 19, going down Southern State Parkway. Got pulled over by a cop. I really did not believe I was speeding. Cop pulled me over. I got out of the car, started to walk back. Apparently that freaks them out.
It does.
Yeah, so I didn't know. I was 19.
Yeah, so, let me tell you, the rule is you keep your hands where they can, well, when you're me, when you look like me, you keep your hands where they can see them. And I'm not kidding, because cops are nervous when they're pulling you over to begin with. And they look in the window. If you notice, they come up from the side where you can't see them. And he already has his, he'd always have his gun out and come up to the side. And, but anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
No problem. Well, I kind of wised off to the cop because I told him he didn't know what he was talking about. And I was kind of bad. Now, I think I told you, my grandfather was a Nassau County cop. So as soon as I got off work, I went over to see Gramps. So I was like, hey, this cop gave me a ticket, doesn't know what he's talking about. And my grandfather asked me what happened. He goes, okay, when's your court date? So I tell him, the day of the court date, I show up, I get in there, and who's sitting in the court? But my grandfather in his dress blues. I'm like, ha-ha.
There you go.
Yeah, the judge calls, and the judge calls my case, and as soon as he calls, my grandfather stands up and says, Judge, before we go any further, my grandson would like to apologize to the police officer. I said, I want to do what?
Oh, shit.
Grandpa, you're lucky you're old, Grandpa.
There I am, standing there apologizing, which I did. and we got all done. And I remember the judge saying, we're going to pass this. I don't think there's anything I can do that's not going to be worse from your grandfather. My gramps took me out to lunch afterwards. He was like, man, if I ever hear you disrespecting a cop, because he was on the job for a while.
Yeah.
And he was like, so even today, you know, I see stuff go on. I'm like, yeah, the cop must be right. Hit him again. Hit him again.
You know what? Contrary to popular belief. I'm sorry, but I have to agree with your grandfather. And for people may think that's a weird position for me to take, but I think that cops get way too much disrespect. You know what? You see all these videos and the cop says, wait, you know, get out of the car or give me your license or whatever the cop is asking. And people think they can say no and they think they can disrespect the, and that's just bullshit. I'm watching those videos.
You can always tell when Mike has a warrant out on him.
How about like when those people start telling the cop the law?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Legally, you have to. It's like, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't be a good guy. I would just choke the shit out of these people.
Those TikToks where they, oh man, I just want to. Oh man.
How about the morons that say they're a sovereign citizen or something? I mean, I would just bash his fucking. Well, you're in your own country, so it's like now you can't extradite me, so I can fucking beat the shit out of you in your car. It's your own country.
Yeah, how about the people who take their camera and they go into like a county office and they say they're an independent journalist and they just give the cops a man? I want to see them get taped, man.
You can't be videotaping there. Oh yes, I can. No, you can't.
Oh, I hate that shit.
Now you're saying about how you should got to keep your hands where they can see them. So I got called in one night from the hospital when I was on call, and it was really bad. It was a really bad accident. And I was driving down Lido Boulevard, and I was going pretty fast. It's a 40. I was probably doing 65. And I got pulled over, and this was a bad one. And I had spoken to the doctor, because you get here as quick as you can. And I got out, and I had on a white jacket, like a doctor jacket. Right. And I got out of my car.
Stethoscope.
And I started running towards the cop car to, you know, tell him what was going on. And under the lights hit my beeper that was on the side from the hospital.
I thought it was a gun, huh?
Next thing I knew, the cop dove across the hood of the car with his gun out and said, take another step, I'm going to blow your fucking head off.
You're lucky that he didn't just shoot first and fucking, you know.
The cop was so upset when he found that, you know what I mean, that they gave me a motorcycle escort to the hospital. Now, I'm not a motorcycle, you know, a cop car escort. They go, just follow us, you know. And, it was really, and the cop apologized 1,000 times. I go, oh, it's me. I'm, you know, it's my fault, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just two people not thinking. He thought
better. Yeah, no. But to the original point, I really do feel there is way too much disrespect for, I mean, freaking cops have a hard job. And I'll be the first one to say that. It's like, you know, you're called in most of the time and it's a shit situation to begin with. Tensions are running high, this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, honestly, how do you not be, you know, and when somebody disrespects the cop like that and they're yelling at him and calling him names, and I don't know how these guys keep their cool, because I'll tell you what, my nightstick would have notches on it from skulls that I would have been good at cop in the 20s, you know, when they used to be able to, the big Irish cop, and he just used to beat the shit out of you and send you home.
Moving along, Johnny, moving along.
Yeah. John, your story reminded me when I was going to college, I was living in Long Beach in this big house, and they had the guy who bought the house, there was an automated alarm that if the alarm went off, there was a tape that played that automatically called the police station and went, there is a robbery going on at 1462 Olive Street. It would be like that, right? And he left the tape in for some reason. I was leaving and I set off the alarm. I'm like, oh shit. And I knew the cops were going to come. So I said, well, I'll sit in my car and wait for them.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're not going to look stupidest like the fucking perpetrator.
And when they come, I got out of the car, and they both came out of their cars with the guns drawn at me. Said, get down! Because I got out of the car to approach them, and it was a stupid... I was 21 years old. The stupidest thing I ever did, man.
I used to get pulled over all the time coming home from comedy show, because, you know, when with the sleeve, I got the cut sleeves, the tattoos, the shaved head. And I'd be coming home, and I would get pulled over every friggin' night. You know, it's 2, 3, 4 in the morning. I'd get pulled over by the same cops, and they'd make me sit on the curb and run all once and once.
Yeah, but
on
you
me.
Would steal all those cars. I mean, come on, stop.
That's besides the point. They got no proof of that, dear.
So listen to this. I was coming home from work once in the hospital.
And I'm supposed to believe this, John?
I lived in an apartment building in Long Beach. So it was like a U shape with a courtyard in the middle.
Right.
And so I get home. First thing I do is check the waves. So I run through the courtyard and I see a lady laying in the courtyard with her leg like up to her hip and a steel pipe sticking out of her chest.
Oh,
like, Jesus. Holy shit. So I run over and she's gargling and just. Who carries an airway with them but me, because I'm working in an emergency room.
Did you take her purse?
I put an airway down her so she could breathe. Right. Somebody looked out and I go, call 911. So they call 911. So apparently the woman got divorced. She was with her mother and she said, I forgot something in the apartment. She went up to the roof and jumped.
Oh my God.
And I found her. So all my big life-saving thing, I keep her alive until we get to the ambulance comes, and they're walking out, and there's all these little old ladies in Long Beach, and I'm with the ambulance guys, and as I'm going through the lobby, I hear really loud, "That's the guy who pushed her!"
Holy fucking shit.
No good deed goes unpunished.
And the cop went, the cop goes, "You just shut up. He saved her life." You know, and she ended up.
That's people just don't know. I have a friend. He was in we were just, you know, doing a big event and whatever. And there's a guy who's sober like me, sober, whatever, long time. And he was tired. So he's driving his truck home. And suddenly I get a call. He had an accident on the way home. And, you know, it's like, I guess he fell asleep while he was driving and the road curved. He didn't curve. He hit the car. So nobody was hurt but him. I mean, the airbag hit him. So when he gets out of the car, you know, you ever been hit by an airbag? I never have, but it really knocks the shit out of you. So he gets out. So this neighbor runs out and she sees him get out of the truck and he's kind of stumbling around because he just got hit. And she's like, "He's drunk." The cops show up and she's yelling, "He's drunk. He's this and that." And at this time, I'm pulling up when she's yelling, and I just went off on her. I was like, "Shut the fuck!" Because I know the guy's sober for years and years.
Right.
And even the cop told her, he goes, "Shut up, he's not drunk. He just got hit by an air." But, you know, it's like people just assume. But, you know, it's crazy ass, you know.
I was.
But John, you saved. You're a hero. You saved the woman's life.
I saved her for a couple of hours more.
Well, he pushed her, so of course she.
But. I was in traffic court once in Long Beach, and
this is kind of a come down from saving a woman's life.
Now, this is kind of fun. This is kind of funny, and the DA just went on and on and on with his recap of the case, and it was like 4:45 on a Friday. It started at 3:00, and all of a sudden the judge just stands up and goes, lifts his arms over his head, and he goes, "Ah!" And the DA goes, "Am I barring you, Your Honor?" He goes, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I got sued once for a videotaping thing. We fired videotapers just to do a play.
Yeah, was this in the men's room? Your videotaping?
No, that's a different one. The guy was suing me because he changed the price right before the show started and we said go home and he got pissed. And anyway, so he sued and he's acting like his own defendant, like any shitty TV show is like, "Well, Your Honor," and he's doing that while I'm on the stand, and it's like something out of a sitcom. And the judge just goes, you know, "Listen, I'm not Judge Wapner. Just sit down." And I thought that was the funniest thing that he actually did that. And what wasn't funny is he ruled against me and I lost. So aside from that,
I was suing this guy once about a house that I rented, and nothing in the house worked. And when I rented the house, because all my in-laws were coming over from England, and, you know, one of them is like an HR director for the Beer Diamonds. We had to have internet. The internet didn't work.
I didn't know you had relatives in England, John.
I did it one time. Anyway, there was a whole thing going on. The garage door openers didn't work. Right. So I'm summarizing the case, right? And so my son Johnny's on the witness stand. This is a great moment.
You put your own son on the witness stand?
Yeah. He wanted to be a witness.
How old was he?
He was in college. He was like,
oh, okay. All right.
So he's on the witness stand, and the DA goes to my son, So you're saying that the garage door openers didn't work. It meant you had to lift them up by hand. How much time did that actually cost you in a week? And my son says, I believe you're missing the point. Once you disconnect the electric thing, that garage door can fall very easily. And there was four kids there under four.
Nice.
I was like, it's gold, Jerry. It's gold. And this was really funny. I worked out this whole case. I defended it, right? And I had, you know, I told the guy I was renting the house because I was having a wedding party. And then he testified that there's no way that there would ever be a party allowed in his rental. And I produced the email that said, this is okay that I'm having this wedding. And he wrote back, yeah, sure. Right. So I got all done and there was a break. And all of a sudden the other attorney goes to me, you're good, man.
Well, and I Mason Ferentino.
I couldn't wait, I'm sorry, listen. The guy couldn't appear in court because he told them that he had some disease and that the whole court would have to be sprayed down with this liquid. And without it, he would affect his immune system. So I said, Your Honor, I'd like to introduce this as evidence. And there's a picture of him in Vegas sitting at a table with guys smoking in the world poker tournament.
Right.
Very nice.
Yeah, World Series tournament poker.
Wow. So you're saying the guy, I'll tell you what, man, next time I get in trouble, I'm calling the law firm of John Ferentino.
We had an episode we called it John Ferentino, attorney at law, when he talked about the whole thing with the
hypocrisy
and his surfboard.
He's my lawyer, man. You're going to have to deal with my lawyer.
I've never lost in court ever.
Perry John Ferentino Mason.
Yeah, but he also makes things disappear. Like, oh, was this the murder weapon? And it's gone. You know,
I should have been an attorney.
There you go, John. You're gonna be like the magic attorney, like pull a knife from behind somebody's ear. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, is this evidence? Look at that. All right, watch it.
I got into SAGs. I got cast on Saturday Night Live, and Bill Murray in the scene.
Ring the bell.
Bill Murray was on it, and he played Cardini for the defense. He was a lawyer who's a frustrated magician, and he was trying to prove me innocent, but with all the magic tricks. So that's kind of like,
hey, Scott, feel free to jump in, man.
I told my court story. We're good.
His fleas do his talking for him.
Scott's sitting there like, Jesus Christ, these guys are fucking bitter.
Yeah, they just never shut the fuck up.
I'm good.
Oh, this is a good one. So I'm driving. When I was in college, I was dating this girl who had her best friend was this beautiful, cute little 20-year-old blonde that surfed. And she had a brand new red Triumph Spitfire. Mm-hmm. So my girlfriend said, I have to go to Canada with my family for the summer. You should hang out with my girlfriend.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah, she was getting rid of you, man. There's no way. A chick doesn't set you up with another chick unless she's dumping you onto her friend.
She wasn't dumping me, but it was two parts.
Look at the denial. She wasn't dumping me.
No, she wasn't, because it was very uncomfortable when she got back. Anyway, I'm driving down the
threesome.
I'm driving down that same road, that Lido Boulevard.
Yeah.
And this girl's red Triumph. This is 1969. I got long hair. The hair's blowing in the wind. Brand new sports car. Doing 80 and a 40. And I go, shit, I better slow down. And with that, I get pulled over. Cop gets out of the car, walks up to me. And I go, is there a problem, officer? He reaches in and he grabs me by the shirt.
Oh, shit.
And goes, what do I look like, a fucking idiot? There's really no way to answer that.
Yeah, there is no way to answer that. Yeah. Yeah, so, a little bit. Dust the powdered sugar off your shirt, and then we'll talk.
Oh,
you.
No.
Look at that. I'm insulting cops after I just said they don't get enough respect.
So he goes, you're doing 40 miles over the limit. That's reckless driving. I hope she has a license, because she'll be driving, because you'll be losing yours. I was like, oh, shit. So he goes, license and registration. And I hear her go, I hope I got the registration. So she finds the registration. I give him my shit. He walks back to the car. And she goes, don't you sit here. Do something. Like, what am I going to do?
I know.
So I get out and I walk up to the, and he's writing like under the street light, right? And yeah. I walk over, and as I walk over, a shadow comes across his clipboard and he can't see where he's writing.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks up and he goes, "Can I help you?" And I go, I didn't know what to say. I go, "Oh, I thought I should just be here." He goes, "No, you don't have to be here." He goes, "I'm writing multiple tickets."
This guy was like an expert asking questions you can't answer. Like, you know, what do I look like? You can't answer that. Can I help you? Yeah, I could use a freaking reach around. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, how do you answer this?
He goes, I'll be delivering you multiple tickets in a few minutes. So I walk by and I look down at his car, right? And I remember this vividly. The number on his car was 812. And as I'm walking past the fender, I hear, "Eight cars, 812, 814, 816, active burglary, Azores Hotel. All units respond immediately. Active burglary." The cop jumps out, hands me my license and registration and a pile of half-written tickets and says, "If I ever see you coming through this town on foot, I'm going to fucking arrest you."
Oh, God.
So did you? So you didn't have to pay any of the tickets?
No.
What, he didn't have your information on him? Because
no.
Well, there you go.
You didn't have to do it.
So there's the trick. See, today now we got cell phones. So now if a cop pulls you over and he's giving you multiple tickets, you can call your friend, tell him, call in the cop station and say there's a robbery at the blah, blah, blah. Don't call active robbery.
Okay, so the end of the story is kind of funny. Right. I start dating the friend, of course, after, you know, halfway through the summer, we're surfing together.
Yeah.
I have a girlfriend that surfed. We're surfing together. We're hanging out. And so anyway, we get back and we go, "We got to tell her." So we tell our best friends. I mean, they live next door to each other their entire lives. And that was it, right? They just never spoke to each other again.
So your girlfriend was that stupid
that
she said, "Here, hang out with my friend for the summer. Here's my car." You know, and my friend happens to be hot, and she actually assumed that you weren't going to tap that.
Right. So wait. 25 years later, I'm doing magic, and I'm the house magician for the magic show, for the magic shop in Hickville, and I get a call to do this party. So I get to the party, and who is it? The girl, you know, the friend.
Right.
Who's now married and has kids, and, you know, and she, I walk in, she's like, "John Ferentino?" I was like, "Oh my God, Sue." I go, "I thought this house was familiar."
It sounds like a Harry Chapin song.
Wait. She goes, I bought my mom's house, you know? Right. And I said, "Well, whatever happened to the," because they're both named Sue. "What happened to the other Sue?" And she goes, "Oh, she bought her mother's house too. She lives across the street still and hasn't talked to me since that time we broke up."
See that, John? You were that good that you split up friends.
John, what I thought you were going to say is, so I get to the house and I open the door, and the door opens, and it's the cop. He goes, "Great, I can finish these tickets now."
Oh, John! John's a magician. He opened up the door. I opened up the door, and I went, "Ta-da!"
Now he does that instead of his having his O face. Ta-da! There is no O face.
I'm not even going to go there, even though that is funny.
It is funny.
it was pretty funny. Yeah.
John, funny. After sex, John said, "How about a hand for the pigeon? How about a hand for the doves?"
It is funny how, like, scorned women, man.
Well, this is not about scorned women, but I got pulled over like at 3 a.m. and it was just, and they just pulled me over because I was the only car on the road. And the cop is, he takes my license, but he's not doing it to write me a ticket. He's just checking it out, I guess. And I'm sitting there in my car just waiting, and all of a sudden his lights go on and he drives off.
With your license?
With my license. I'm like, wait a minute. So I followed him. Right? So I follow, and he pulled over somebody else, and I drive up behind him, and I go, now I remember what happened with the house and the alarm. I go, what do I do? So I parked way behind him. And I just very timidly was walking up to him, and his back is turned to me.
You want to timidly, like sneaking. I'm sneaking up on the cop.
Quietly, so he doesn't think I'm running or something. And I just tapped him on the shoulder, and he just jumped on the And I went, "Sir, you have my." And my voice was like, "Sir, you have my license." He went, "Ugh!" And he just reached in his pocket and handed it to me. But man, that was pretty scary.
That's pretty good.
Well, I mean, I had a cop point a gun. How many times have you had guns pulled? Well, John, the car thing you said, but I it was the 4th of July, and I was up on the roof, and we were setting off Roman candles. And you remember Roman candle, they shoot, you know, you can hold us holding the Roman candle. All of a sudden, the door, this is in the projects where I grew up, the door to the roof opens up, and a friggin' cop is there. And he's, I've got the Roman candle, he just drop it. And I'm just looked at him, and I wasn't thinking about actually pointing the Roman candle, but he pulled out his gun and he said, "Don't even think about it." And I was like, I just looked at him. I was like, all right. And I dropped the Roman candle, but it was like, I've had guns pointed at me probably at least 3 or 4 times.
Shit. Once is enough for me.
It isn't a fun thing.
I worked in the Bronx, right? I was working in Jacoby Hospital.
Jacoby and Myers Hospital?
This is kind of funny because
Jacoby and Frank
we Hospital. Had an 80-bed holding area in the emergency room with 3 full-time x-ray rooms. So to make a long story short, I was working. I just got out of school. My boss said to me and my buddy, "Do you want to work a double tomorrow night? It's time and a half and a day off." Now, we were making like $20 a month stipends in school. So we were like, yeah, because, I mean, in 72, we were still getting paid like $24,000 a year. It's a lot of money back then. So we get done. We just sit there like this, like, oh, my God, it's over. We just saw 80 patients in like 3 hours. At the end of the hallway, about 50 yards down, was an old metal hospital door with the Ripley glass and the chicken wire in it.
Right.
All of a sudden, the glass just shatters. And this guy's ripping the chicken wire out with a sawed-off shotgun.
Wow.
And
he
goes, "This hospital killed my brother. Now everyone's going to die."
Mm. Holy shit.
So he was upset.
So we
run. He was miffed.
I run into the dark room, right? I go to my friend, "Get the dark room. It's lead-lined." So we get in the dark room.
It's lead-lined. Superman can't find us.
We lock the door. We call security. Now, in the Bronx, security isn't like a regular hospital. They're ex-Green Berets. You know, they're special forces.
Right.
They're like tough guys. So anyway, about 10 minutes later, we hear, "Open the door." And my friend goes, "What if it's the guy?" And I go, "Who is it?" And they go, "Security."
Like the guy's going to go, "It's the guy."
I go, so in an extra, in a dark room, they have a pass box where you can put something in and open it so light doesn't come in the dark room.
Right.
So I go, "Put your badge in the pass box." And then they go, "Okay, badge is in the pass box." I open up and it's there. We come out for 6 months every time we saw these tough Green Beret guys. "Hey, put your badge in the pass box."
You were like Macaulay Culkin asking when in Home Alone, you know, can you take your license out of the wallet, please?
That movie was probably popular. That's probably why I thought of it.
How are we doing on time? Oh, it's time. So anyway, I just this was a fun show. Thanks, Scott, for really contributing a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. You know.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
That was fun. Whoever thought, like, talking about a flea, who would have thought there are still flea circuses around?
Say hi to Herc Flea.
Morgan Fleeman. I gotta meet Morgan Fleeman.
Fila Flea.
You guys say hi to them. They're awesome names.
There was another one too, right?
Fleeby Cates. Come on, that's a good name.
What was it?
Fleeby Cates.
Oh, Fleeby Cates, okay.
Oh, you're looking good in your bathing suit, Phoebe.
Anyway, it's time, John. The time has come.
All right. Well, hey, this is another good show, and we're the Big Bad Broadcast, and you can catch us on the Podcast Playground, Spotify,
Apple,
Podcast, Audible. And remember to hear Pete Jackie the Joke Man's documentary called at thejokemanmovie.com. It's called The Joke Man.
Let's thank our guest, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for letting me be here.
Mike.
Thanks, dude.
Yay.
I'm cool. I'm John Fertino, and we will see you next week. Same time, same bat station.
Peace.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.